Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Thursday, April 26, 2016, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, coming to you with this special edition of my show today, and I am excited about it. Yes, I am. How are you folks doing out there today? You excited too? Excited about anything? Excited about everything? Excited about something? Well, I hope so. And if you're not excited about anything yet, well, go look in the mirror at yourself, your beautiful self, your handsome self, and give yourself a high five, clap for yourself, jump up and down, blow yourself a kiss, wink at yourself, smile at yourself, or something like that. And if anybody sees you and asks you, are you crazy? Say no. I'm just excited about myself. And I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke when I say that. I did all that this morning. I really did. And I'm not kidding. I really did. Well, I am also excited about my guest today. And I know you will enjoy this conversation as well. She's Nita Okona. She's an author. She's the author of Clouds of Grace, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. She's also a wife, a mom, and in recognition of Autism Awareness Month, she's talking with me today about a few of the inspiring stories of her son, Zachary, and she's also going to share some facts everybody should know about autism. Excited to have you here today, Nita. How are you?
I am doing great, Silver Ray, and I'm so excited that I get to share this time with you.
Me too, me too, me too. Well, you've got a lot going all the time. I didn't mention the fact that you are just like a vocalist extraordinaire, but we'll get that in somewhere down the road in the conversation, because you have an amazing and anointed voice, and I've seen some of your videos, but again, we'll tuck that in before we wrap up the show. But we want to jump right into your projects. First of all, before we talk about your new book that'll be coming out, let's talk about Clouds of Grace, because it's such a beautiful book with such inspiration. So tell people about Clouds of Grace, how that all came about.
Well, Clouds of Grace is self-published. It's a book that I created in tandem with the beautiful Danette Mears Thompson. She's a photographer. And we came together, and she just took these beautiful pictures of clouds, and I put stories behind them, and we called the book Clouds of Grace, and I'm very excited about that project, very, very excited about that. Have moved on from there and wrote a novel, actually, and something totally different, and excited about that, too, and the prospects of what will happen to that. So, Clouds of Grace is... it's like giving birth to your first baby in terms of the publishing.
Yes.
World. And
you're
always excited about your first baby.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about where they can pick that up toward the end of the show as well. But I know you've been working diligently on a new book, the one that you just mentioned. Tell us the title, and we probably can expect to see something about that maybe within the year.
I hope so. From your lips to God's ears. Presently, my manuscript, I'm going to call it a novel, my manuscript, House of God, which is G-A-W-D, House of God, it's in the hand of two literary agents, and I'm hoping to hear from either of them any day now. The publishing world moves very slow. And I am learning that as a novice, you know, first time writing a novel, that nothing happens overnight. It's a process. And so,
sure.
But in the meantime, as I wait, because it matters how you wait, I'm working on my second novel. And that keeps me pretty much occupied and happy for the most part.
How did you come up with the title House of God?
House of God, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, with titles, authors can rename a title 1, 2, 3, 1,000 times, literally. And it wasn't originally called that, but Savannah, who is the main protagonist in the story, she finds herself in a heartbreaking yet hopeful place, and she somehow refers to God in the voice of a woman from Charleston, South Carolina, who calls G-O-D, G-A-W-D. And, you know, God somehow gives her what she needs from the past and rescues her from a present situation. It's a really great novel. I hope it becomes a classic. My editor thinks it's going to be a classic. I just believe it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we will be keeping that up before God with you. So that
up before God, right. Exactly.
So that the process can move along a little bit faster for you.
Exactly. I love that, Silver. I love that. I'm going to keep that before God.
No, well,
and, you know, and I want to say, too, while we're talking about that, it's, you know, the book, too, is set in Charleston, South Carolina, and there's a segment of people there that are called the Gullah people, which a lot of people may not know about that culture, but they are pretty much people from West Africa that have kept the culture intact in a large sense. In terms of language, in terms of food, in terms of music. And there are not many stories written about them. And so, you know, I was excited to write this story using some of the language, of course, but also using language that people can understand the culture, you know, without having to say, you know, I'm reading a foreign language, you know. So I think it's a great story, actually, and it's something that came from my heart.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be very interesting and educational, too, at the same time. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Well, I want to change gears a little bit. We know that we're have been in the month of April as Autism Awareness Month. And I want to talk about, you are just an incredible individual, mom, wife. I wanted to talk about some of those wonderful stories. I see many of the things that you post about you and Bree, and you guys are seemingly always having such a fun time. It was just a joy to me to be able to post that photo of the two of you sharing that mother-son kiss. You love him to pieces, and I love that you do. And I wanted to talk about your story. I wanted you to share with the audience when he was initially diagnosed, and then we'll talk about some of those other experiences that I know you're eager to share with them.
Sure, sure. Well, I think when Zachary was like 17 months, I noticed that he wasn't developing like his sister. So he has a sister that's a few years older than him, and granted, she's gifted, prodigy child. And so even my husband said, you know, don't compare Zachary to Chinwe. Yeah, they're different. You know, he's not going to be like her. But by the time he was 20 months, the few words that he said, like he never said mama or mom, he said dada. He would say light. From what I can remember, I can't remember all the words, but he had a vocabulary of probably 10 to 15 words. Well, he got to a point at 20 months where most of those words start to gradually disappear. He just didn't say them anymore. And he would sit and he could rock for hours. And I just thought that was very unusual. So at the time we lived in Texas. We lived in the Dallas area. went to the pediatrician, and she was phenomenal. And she said to me, she said, I think you're dealing with autism. And I got angry with her and picked up my child and left the office. She ran behind me and said, you'll need me in the months to come, and I'm here for you. Call when you're ready. I glared at her, and I kept going. And then within 2 months, I did call her back because I did need her. I needed her for sure. So that was the beginning of the journey of dealing with Zachary and, you know, the diagnosis of autism.
Okay. And from there, I can only imagine that there is a point where you're so startled, even shocked. What was that like for you and your husband at that time when you really had to wrap your head around the fact that your doctor had said it's definitely that as a diagnosis?
Well, I'll say this too. I think parents that deal with this, the autism spectrum disorder, ASD, yes, you do go through a period of your shock or you're in denial or both. You say, this is not what I'm really dealing with. I am thankful that for Jerry and I, the period was short. It was very short. We're talking 2 months. Now, I've talked to parents that have been in denial for years, but I think that doesn't serve the child, the individual. And so, yeah, we were shocked and in denial. And for 2 months, I would watch him not want to do anything but rock on a couch. And then at that point, I did reach out for help. And not just through the pediatrician, but through whatever services that were available to help him.
I want to ask you some stories about you and Zach as he grew up and once you had understood that you have a new journey with your baby. But I want to ask you while we're at that point about you and your husband at that point, at that time, did Zachary's diagnosis challenge your relationship?
Oh, absolutely. And I think for parents that say that it has not been a challenge and a strain on the relationship or the marriage, I know that it's a bold-faced lie. That's a lie. But Jerry and I, through the years, have learned to continue our own dance in spite of having to deal with Zachary. And we got great advice from a neurologist when Zachary was probably four. For that particular appointment, both of us showed up. Now, Jerry can't always show up for an appointment. He has to work. But this was the first time meeting this neurologist, and we both are there. And he says, you guys are going to be okay. You know why? Because you both showed up. And that's what's going to be needed on this journey, basically. You know, and I get a little teary almost thinking about it. He said, that's what's going to be needed. You're going to have to be a team. You're going to have to show up, and you're both going to have to fight for him. You got to fight for each other because there are days when you're going to feel like you don't want to fight for each other. And Jerry and I have been through those days. We've taken each other for granted, you know, but also I say most of our days, we've learned to fight together, fight for us, fight for Zachary, fight for our family.
Yes, and you've done a great job. We talked earlier about how, you know, we have inspired each other, watched what each other has done on social media, and I'm so blessed, like you, to have so many people that their courage and their fightitude just really gives me so much impetus as well. And you're just watching some of the things you do and the fun things that you and Zach have done just have been just delightful for me. And I want to say that, and I want to just segue into talking about him now. And some of those stories, I know some of them you've had to put a few people in check, but there are a lot of really good times that the two of you have had together. What's one of the most fun things that you can remember?
With Zachary?
Yes.
You know what? It's fun with Zachary because with Zachary, in a lot of ways, life is simple. Zachary reminds me to go back to the music. He loves music. And he's a connoisseur in a sense that he knows what he likes, he knows what he doesn't like. What he doesn't like, he turns off. What he likes, what he loves, he wants it on full blast, you know?
That's got to be cute to watch.
He reminds me that, you know what you don't like, turn it off. Just turn that off.
That's
really
all
love,
it takes.
Turn it on full blast.
That's a life lesson in itself.
Oh, my God. So, but without using words, my kid is nonverbal. So without even using words, sermonizing me, he has taught me through the years, what you don't like, turn that thing off. What you like, put it on full blast, you know, and let us all enjoy it, you know. I love to see him get in the pool and swim and laugh. Again, back to the music. He's not a singer. Actually, one of the couples in choir last night was asking me, did he like music? I said, he loves music, but he's a horrible singer. You know, but he thinks he sings well, you know. So choir members are supposed to make a skillful noise unto the Lord. Zachary makes a joyful noise. It doesn't always sound good, but it does bring joy to you, and it brings joy to my heart.
Yes, of
for
course.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Sure.
What other fun things, activities does he enjoy with you guys? What are some of the things that you do together as a family?
Well, just now, it's just me, Jerry, and Zach in the house. So we go out to eat with him. We walk with him. We can go to a movie with him. When the other two kids were here, life was kind of centered around their activities. But, you know, Zachary's really good about, you know, when Chinwe played in the orchestra, he could sit through the concert, you know. He could sit through her volleyball games and Jarrett's basketball games, and Jarrett, too, played an instrument in his concerts. And so we would do a lot of those things. Traveling is the best with Zachary because he didn't complain like the other two kids. He loves to ride and for hours, you know. And so, you know, I do thank God that at this point in his life, he's 22 years old. He's getting ready to transition out of public school into an adult setting, which at this point, I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm looking at programs and I'm not happy with anything I see right now, but he is really good in terms of I can adjust. You know, he doesn't have any major behavior issues. Whereas I understand parents that are going through that because hormones start to rage at this point, you know, especially with, you know, our male population who have been diagnosed with the autism spectrum disorder. Yeah, their hormones are raging. They have nothing sometimes, nothing to do with that. Or there's no place to put that kind of energy. And so, you know, there can be tantrums, there can be, you know, breakdowns, and there could be, I'm not doing that. But for the most part, he's complying. He goes along with what we want to do. And I just enjoy that. Sometimes it's just, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, because you mentioned public school, and I was going to ask you just quickly, tell us, where have you sought out the most assistance for Zach's development? School, one of them. You mentioned programs going forward, but have you had him participating in certain things that you feel have really been an asset to him over the years?
Well, I'd say, I live in South Florida, and in South Florida, no. We have, outside of school, I've tried different camps for the summer, haven't always been pleased with that. In Dallas, when he was younger, we did all types of things with him. And and actually the setting there I loved better. But he has a companion now who takes him out in the evening to walk, because he loves to walk. You know, he could walk for hours. He just loves to walk. So she takes him out 4 or 5 times a week. And, you know, we've done the Autism Speaks. We've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But Zachary pretty much, he wants to swim. He wants to walk. He wants to listen to music, you know. And that's the individuality of a person diagnosed with autism. You know, people think that, oh, everybody that's been diagnosed with autism, they're the same. They're not the same. There's an individuality that goes along with this disorder or this you know, developmental disability. They're not all the same. Some of them have, you know, savant skills, that they're great in math or in music. You know, Zachary doesn't have that. Or some of them are like little professors, you know. And some of them want friends and may not be able to make friends in a way that is meaningful for them. You know, Zachary doesn't want to have friends or anything like that. He just wants to do the 3 things I mentioned: swim, music, walk.
Well, that's
a
blessing.
And that's where he
is. Yes. Well, you know what I'd like for you to share with us right now? It's amazing how time flies, but I know that there are a few facts that you feel everybody should know about autism. And so let's take a few minutes, and if we get close to time for me to wrap, I will just interject and let you know that. But let's get started on those. I know you said there are some things that you'd really like to share with everybody.
Well, first thing is that there are dozens of treatments for autism or dealing with people on the autism spectrum. But there's no cure that I know of, you know, and I get disappointed when I hear people talk about this is the cure, you know. You know, medical science is aware that there's no present cure for autism, but it doesn't mean that you can't have the individual be the best that they could be, wherever they are on the spectrum, low functioning, in the middle, or very high functioning. You know, that's the one thing I'd like to share. The second thing is that, I don't know, families coping with autism, they need help and support. They do. They don't need your pity, you know. And I think sometimes people think that, oh, well, you know, I don't really know how to help. Help from your heart, you know what? Help by saying, you know what, I'm not asking you to take my kid out. But don't be insensitive and say crazy things like, well, you're dealing with this because you've sinned in some way. And a lady has actually told us that on a cruise. This is why you have this child, because you've sinned in a certain way. So for us as a family, respite is essential. Not a luxury. It's essential. We have to take a break, you know. So families coping with autism need your help and support. If not with what you can do with your words, in your presence, be sensitive. Don't say stupid stuff. It just doesn't help. You know, I also like to say that there's no best school for a child with autism. You find a program that works for your kid, go with that program. Just go with it, you know. Go with that program. In Texas, we had Zachary in a typical school setting. Here, it's a little different. We have him in a center school. I don't even know how many I've given you at this point. I also want to say that in terms of the high functioning, middle functioning, low functioning, among us, you know what? I don't like that we think that, oh, this person is better because they're at this point. If you have a kid on the ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder, you know what, you're dealing with some kind of challenge in communication and how they socialize and how they cognitively relate to things. Be sensitive to the people that are not on the same spectrum as your kid, you know. That's a, mm-hmm. that's a big thing for me. And then finally, because I have a lot of these I can share, you know, people that are on the autism spectrum, they have strengths and abilities. Maybe something that you don't recognize as a strength and ability, but I love that Zachary likes music and likes the water, you know, and that, you know, he loves going for walks. You know, whatever your kid has as a strength, go with that. Foster that. Nurture that, you know.
I think that's great advice. I think that is just excellent advice. And you know what I would like for you to do? We are down to 5 minutes now. What I'd like for you to do is share quickly the story, again, to help put this in perspective about what happened with the lady at the Walmart store. And then after you share that story, if you just share some words of encouragement, because I think that perspective that happened that day is often that pity perspective that people have. But I'd like for you just to share, because you truly have been loving unconditionally and loving without limits. And I think it's important that maybe there may be somebody who's listening who needs to be inspired to continue on in their strength to support their child as well.
Okay. Well, this particular day, and this is some years ago, Zachary and I are hanging out at Walmart. We're in the line getting our stuff. And the lady behind us, she says, I feel sorry for you. I don't know where she's coming from. So I say to her, I say, you feel sorry for me? She said, yeah, I feel sorry that you're stuck with him. Well, before I could even say anything to her, the lady behind her and the cashier, they got totally involved in the conversation, telling her how inappropriate she was, and da-da-da-da. She said, well, I didn't mean it like that. And the cashier said, yes, you did, you know. And I think at that point I said, I feel sorry that you're this sorry, that you could say this to a human being, that you have no filters and you can say anything. I don't need you to feel sorry for us. We're okay, you know. And so that really ended with the lady getting out of line. And, you know, it also showed me, too, that there are people that may not have a kid like mine, but they're willing to fight the battle for humanity and what's really right and what's wrong. And saying in that moment, we're not going to put up with you just saying anything to people. You just can't say anything to people and have no filters. You know, and so I appreciated that. I did. You know, I couldn't tell you their names or I don't even remember how they looked. I just remember
these two women fighting. Yeah, that was really awesome that it, you know, that you did embrace that again as another life lesson. What would you say to moms and dads right now? We're under 2 minutes, but what would be some of the best encouragement you'd share right now?
I mean, I just think, you know, it's tough, but hang in there, and I think do the best that you can do every day. I don't believe that God gives special kids to special parents. I think that whatever God gives you in terms of autism or whatever else you have to deal with, you learn to deal with it. You do the best that you can, and you take every day as it comes. I think that's what I do. That's what Jerry does.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. A day at a time, for sure. Well, it's been a delight talking to you, as it always is. And everybody who's listening, you can find Theta's book, Clouds of Grace, on Amazon.com. And just quickly, tell us your FB, Twitter, and Instagram tags, and then I'm going to wrap up. My sister, thank you so much for that beautiful conversation and inspiring. What's your FB, Twitter, and Instagram tag?
I can be reached on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Theda Okona. My name, THEDAOKONA. Thank you so much, Silver. I really have enjoyed this.
You too. You be blessed, beautiful lady. And thank you all for tuning in today. I hope you were inspired and also learned a lot about autism and perhaps can share this information with others. Keep watch for next week. It's Master Your Mindset. Monday. I'll be looking forward to talking to you then. In the meantime, be good, be blessed, be awesome.